Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to The Thriving Marriage. I'm Heather Cho. I'm with Mark Johnston. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? I think you were saying that you yourself weren't feeling super great today.
Oh my goodness. It's been weeks and weeks of something going around our family. And if my voice sounds like there's a frog in my throat, well, that's because there probably is. So if I sound a little off, that's what's going on. I feel better, but I don't sound great. So hopefully my voice will catch up to the rest of me pretty soon. But yeah, how are you doing, Mark?
Doing all right. I just came back from a nice little break over Easter. Was able to spend some time with family. So it was wonderful to be able to just take some time off.
Ah, that's great. So today, my friends, we're talking about Communication 101, Part 2, how to communicate with your wife and 4 phrases to help melt her heart. So thank you guys for joining us again here at The Thriving Marriage. We're the #1 podcast about marriage in the world. And we want to thank each and every one of you as we continue our mission to help thousands of couples create a thriving marriage. Before we get to how to communicate with your wife and the 4 phrases to melt her heart, we do have a client win of the week. This one's a little long. So just for the sake of my voice, Mark, if you don't mind taking this one, it would be great. It's just really powerful to see their whole journey here though. So
yeah, absolutely. So it starts off saying, in 2018, when all seemed lost, this person joined the Relationship Reboot Program, one of our programs that we run. It was a major turning point for me, a game changer. What Mark and Heather had to share changed my entire way of thinking. I went from pitiful to empowered. For the first time, I was able to see past my pain and fully comprehend his pain. Wow. The PATH program, another one of our programs that we have, it completely changed the trajectory of our marriage. Thank you, Heather and Mark, and thank you, Lord. It keeps going. When I did this, things changed almost immediately. I wasted 10 years just thinking he was mean, having no idea of his pain. I could only see my own. And when he told me what had hurt him so deeply, I was flabbergasted. I had no idea. I'd never asked. And when I gave him understanding without judgment, he was able to have hope again. We are rebuilding. I chose to forgive freely and completely. How could I not? Knowing the price Christ has paid for my sin, we are rebuilding. The light in his eyes has returned. Laughter has returned. The spark has ignited and come to life. Love is growing day by day. And I just wanted to share my miracle wins. So this person then gives a few specific wins. So saying, 2 years ago, my beloved came home for good. The next day, 2 years ago, my prince put his ring back on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. She says he's the God of miracles. A third win, falling in love all over again. It's a roller coaster ride up of ups and downs and loop de loops. It's real. It takes my breath away. So thankful I didn't give up. So this person really kind of shares their journey. So sometimes it does take a little bit of time. This person is talking about like a, 2 years ago, what had happened, and you know, how they're continuing to change, but it sometimes does take a little bit of time, even for everything to kind of settle and for everything to be secure again. But, you know, this person stuck it through.
I also love what she shared about how she was able to see past her pain and comprehend his pain, and that she was actually flabbergasted when he told her what had hurt him, and she had no idea. And so that gave her the understanding without judgment. And that's a really beautiful thing to experience, and exactly where we start you guys with in the PATH process is helping you to step out of your own pain and see your spouse's perspective, because that's when things start to really turn around. All right. So I also like that she talked about, you know, really not understanding each other, really not understanding each other's pain. But then when you really get each other, it changes the entire trajectory of your relationship. And that's what we want to talk about today, is the challenges that you might be facing right now when it comes to communicating specifically with your wife. Last episode, Mark and I talked about how to communicate with your husband for the ladies. We also shared that we don't love these topics so much because we try to we try not to go too deep into stereotypes. However, we understand that there are some common struggles that you guys are dealing with. And we asked y'all in the Facebook group, the Thriving Marriage group, what challenges you are facing when it comes to communicating with your wife. And as you're watching us live or watching the replay on YouTube or whatever, go ahead and leave a comment. What are the challenges that you're facing when it comes to communicating with your wife? And we will answer every single one of those and help coach you on those. So some of the things that we saw, some really common problems that we saw in the numerous comments that we got, was a lot of this idea of mind reading. Basically, your wife is interpreting your conversations as more negative, or maybe she's expecting you to kind of read her mind. I've heard that said many times as well. Like, you should just know that that bothers me. We also saw some problems with being wrong, like some negative feedback there. Mark, what did you see as far as this one?
Yeah, as in like, I saw a lot of the men commenting that like their wife was taking everything as an attack, or that they, even the slight hint that they're complaining about something, you know, really set off their wife such that they couldn't really give any feedback, or even, you know, heaven forbid, negative feedback with things. That was a big part of like a lot of the comments that I saw.
Yeah, I saw that too. And then also just, you feel ignored, you feel shut out, you feel like your wife has turned into the ice queen. And that's why we're going to talk about 4 heart melting phrases that we're going to help to thaw that and help you not feel so ignored or shut out right now. And then another issue is like reading between the lines, right? So she believes that you're trying to say something that you're not actually intending to say. And last week we kind of addressed this with the ladies, that women, in kind of a stereotype, but in general terms, we tend to kind of read between the lines and see what the implications are and see what maybe not being said verbally, but getting what it really means. And we also generally talked about how men are usually a lot more straightforward. And so I can see some frustration that you gentlemen are having because your wife's kind of reading between the lines and trying to see something, but you're saying it's not there. Like, you're not understanding what I'm intending to say. Mm-hmm. So we want to help you get some clarity with that.
Yeah. And so with a lot of this, what this kind of starts looking like, you know, I want to make sure that we make this clear. You know, we're listing off like some of the frustrations that men had with communication. And I don't want it to sound like men's problems with communication are women's fault. Because like each of these items was like, okay, women are doing this and women are doing that, and they're not taking the feedback, and they're, you know, they're ignoring you guys. And like I said, I don't want it to sound like the men's problems with communication are the fault of the women. So what I do want to do is I want to show you, like, so we were highlighting those complaints, and I want to show you how to navigate these conversations so that you both feel cared for, you both feel heard, no one feels like they're doing something wrong. So like it's fine that you men are seeing these issues, and I want to, part of the purpose here is to show you what you can do yourself, even if you're saying, okay, well, this is something my wife is doing.
Agreed. So we have some awesome tips for you guys, 7 tips, and it's a lot to it. So I want to dive in. The first being that feelings are okay. So guys, leave a comment. Let me know, do you have a hard time with emotion? That's kind of the stereotype, is that women are very comfortable with emotion, or at least more so. And a lot of women say that my husband just does not share things emotionally very much. And so feelings are not right or wrong or good or bad. We're often shamed for our feelings as young children. You may have heard things like big boys don't cry, man up. You know, you may have heard some of those sayings from your parents or people around you, or maybe your peers teased you, if you were sensitive or, you know, had tears or anything like that. And so maybe you're feeling like some of your feelings aren't okay and you should just be a man about it. Mark, what's your perspective as from this as a man and working with a lot of clients here? You know, we've helped tens of thousands of people. So we've worked with a lot of different situations, a lot of different people.
Well, something that I've had to learn even within my own marriage is, I don't know how this sounds to other people, but like sometimes my wife will just be crying and I'll go and check in on her. And she's like, it's nothing. I just saw some cute puppies or something. it's something like really benign. And, you know, sometimes this applies even to our conversations. You know, like sometimes my wife will be getting a bit emotional in some of our harder conversations. And immediately I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing something wrong here. And I have to, you know, my wife and I've had these conversations and I know how to handle it with my own wife, but I have to remind myself, okay, I need to slow down for a moment. This doesn't necessarily mean I'm doing something wrong, but it does mean that I should probably be very present in the conversation and kind of listen to what's going on with these emotions with my wife. That's my side. And like, even though I am trained and I do this every day and listen to people, I still have to remind myself, okay, emotions are okay. It doesn't mean that anything is necessarily super terrible. Sometimes it might, but you know, being able to sit with those emotions, or to talk about those emotions, or even to share my own emotions with what is going on, it's been a really good lesson to learn within my own marriage.
Yeah, agreed. And another thing to know, like we go back to the PATH method, gain their like perspective, mm-hmm. that the way someone feels is not right or wrong. It's just how they feel. And so trying to change how your partner feels is a futile effort. Okay. There's things that we can do to support a healthier, more functional relationship, but we should never shame or try to change feelings. Now, it can be hard to be present with things like anger, disappointment, sadness, frustration. That can be very uncomfortable, but we know that the word of emotion means in motion. So if we let feelings be felt, they can often be processed and then moved on from. Mm-hmm. What happens when we try to dam it and stop it is that they get stuck or they tend to build up. And then it creates even more chaos and even more challenges there. So feelings are fine. And even sharing feelings are good. But if you can share without letting the emotion completely take control, that's always best. And one of the things that we teach you guys how to do, both men and women, is how to process through your emotions so that you can get to a calmer, more centered state. If we're in a heightened state of anger, disappointment, sadness, frustration, then we typically act in low value ways. And so an important thing to know is that your feelings aren't good or bad. They're just feelings. So let's process through them. And then let's get to what we really want to accomplish here, right? Yes. And so an important thing to remember is like the more you can be present and thoughtful with those emotions, both yours and hers, then the better off you'll be.
Yeah, I notice a lot, you know, we're going to go with stereotypes here, but I do notice that the stereotype with men is the tendency to either retreat from emotions, like they're going to walk away, they don't want to deal with it, or perhaps to meet emotions with more emotion, like your wife is sad about something that's happened in the relationship, and maybe there's a lot of anger. And so you have these escalating sort of scenarios. And what we're suggesting here is just, like Heather was saying, sit with the emotions a little bit, let them flow a little bit, be okay with your wife being a little bit emotional. And if you let that flow, everything will be much, much better.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, that brings us to tip two, which is having some shared common goals that helps avoid so many problems. When we can get a little bit past some of the emotions, some of the pain, and actually understand what we're both wanting and come together to find a common goal, we see massive changes in your trajectory in your relationship. just kind of like our client was talking about, right? Now, some of you might be thinking, my wife couldn't want anything like what I want. She may be off having an affair. She may be wanting to leave the kids. She may say, I'm done. We couldn't have anything in common. And Mark and I will challenge that and let you know that almost always we have found that there are things that you guys have in common. So Mark, walk us through that process of how to create some common goals.
So yeah, like specifically, I was putting this tip in because of some of the complaints, because of, you know, perhaps difficulty with some feedback or some mind readings sort of things, or reading between the lines. And I find that if you can actually both kind of understand where you, you know, why you're having this conversation and where you're wanting to go. I know the stereotype here is that men tend to be a little bit more goal-oriented in conversations, and women try to just be in the conversation and try to connect in the conversation. And I know that this is a little bit more on that goal-oriented side, but I also think that it helps avoid a lot of those complaints around like what we were talking about. So if there's a lot of this reading between the lines and saying, well, you don't actually want to hear me out. Okay, well then let's, you know, establish what we are trying to do here. Like if your wife is expecting you to know what she wants, if you're frustrated because you can't actually talk about what's wrong, or you don't feel like you can make requests yourself, you can talk about those things that you want to build up as a couple. Like, hey, I want to make sure that we are both feeling heard. I'm doing this right here because I care about you, because, you know, even though I might not know exactly what you're wanting, I'm having this conversation because I care about you and I want to be here in this relationship. Like it's these kind of being very clear about what you're trying to do helps avoid a lot of those problems that we talked about earlier, and helps kind of funnel the two of you in the right direction. I'm thinking like, maybe a practical example might be helpful here. So if I had to give an example, you know, I might say, hey, I want to make sure that we are both feeling cared for. Or, hey, I understand, you know, if we're actually addressing a problem, I understand you want me to know what you want. That would probably feel much more genuine. What I'm trying to do here is I want to make sure you feel cared for. I'm struggling right now, and I would appreciate your support and helping me to understand how to care for you. Like these are clearly stating those goals so that, you know, there is a lot less of those reading between the lines. It's being a bit direct, and it's being a bit, commanding is, or confident. It's a good kind of a stance to have in these situations.
Yeah. If you guys listened to the episode last week, which I encourage you to, even if you're a guy, because it might help you understand women's side a little bit more and some of the things that we're helping coach women with. My husband has used this himself. If I'm really upset, if I'm really like emotionally charged about something and I'm just kind of like dumping it all, like women tend to what we call like empty the basket or just go on and on and on about something sometimes. I'm guilty of that. My husband will be like, what are you wanting? What can I do? How can I help you with this? And so if you're feeling like you just want to run away because it's like a little too much to handle, or you don't really know what she's wanting and you're worried that she just wants you to kind of read her mind and you're worried about getting it quote unquote wrong, then just really clearly asking in this way helps cut through a lot of that. And that goes really well into our tip number three, yes, which is clear agreements. I love clear agreements. This has really changed the way that Ben and I have disagreements and coming to clear agreements, and clear expectations helps so much when we know that we're on the same page. So Mark, you have a formula here, mm-hmm, of pretty much three different elements to a clear agreement. So I want to go ahead and outline those.
Yeah. So the whole point of something like clear agreements is to clear a lot of the tension or drama within some sort of interaction within a relationship. So I always start off with clear requests, making sure that you both know what's wanted. Heather was just giving an example for her and Ben. Like Ben sometimes has to sit down and say, hey, what is it that you're looking for here? But a lot of times, you know, that's in and of itself not always the only thing that's needed. So for instance, I saw a lot of complaints saying, okay, my wife wants me to know what she wants because otherwise it's not genuine and it's not authentic and I should just know what she wants or else I don't care for her. Okay, well, clearly in these situations, these wives, these women want something. Sometimes in order to fulfill that request, you need some accommodations. You need some support from the person making the request. So make sure to communicate what you need in order to provide for your partner's request. Sometimes, you know, like for me, it's really important to me to have some quality, just one-on-one time with my wife, Jen. And sometimes my wife can be all over the place and wanting to take care of lots of things. And so my request here is spending some one-on-one time. Sometimes in order for Jen to accommodate that, she says, okay, I need your help in these areas for my mind to be a little bit more settled. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you know, it's about, you know, making sure you know what your wife wants. Sometimes it's about making sure your wife knows what you want and accommodating the person making the request or accommodating the other person to make sure that they can help with that request.
Yeah.
The third part, though, is when this breaks down. Like sometimes I talk to the clients and they're like, well, I tried asking and I'm tried, you know, trying to have these conversations because I really want to be there and support my spouse. And sometimes you do need some clear boundaries or consequences. And this is not always necessarily a bad thing. It's not like you've done this, now I'm drawing this line and now, you know, I'm going to punish you here. It's not boundaries. Are not punishments necessary. It's more about consequences. And you can take those consequences in a lot of different directions. It's about what's going to happen when clear communication or agreements aren't happening. And even in this hypothetical, or actually, you know, not hypothetical, because a lot of people are complaining about this, the situation where your wife wants or expects you to know what they want, or else you don't care about them. I mean, this is a perfect example. You can say, okay, You don't want to talk to me about what you want. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go do this and this and this for you because I want to support you. And if you want me to do something else, let me know. This can even in and of itself be a boundary or a consequence. And even though it's moving in a positive direction, it's about how you are trying to meet needs when negotiation isn't working.
I love that. Yes. So Mark, do you have a practical example of this in your own relationship?
Yes. So the tendency in my own marriage, when say my wife and I are having an argument, there are some times when we do shut down a little bit and neither of us are really wanting to give in or wanting to talk right then. Even sometimes, you know, it might be me, it might be my wife, Jen. But I know we both do this and it tends to work well where we say, okay, I can see you don't want to talk right now. I'm going to start taking care of, you know, our go-to is like taking care of some chores, like the dishes or something. I'm going to start doing the dishes because I want to make sure that the environment's really nice. And when you're ready to talk, you can come talk to me. It doesn't sound like that harsh of a boundary or a consequence, but it's still kind of the idea, like, hey, I'm going to show you some care. You're not telling me how you'd like to be cared for, but I'm going to show some care. And if you want things to move along, I would love to talk. Even that sort of example, the same sort of idea where you're still going to go about and caring actions when things are shutting down and you're not really communicating well, it really demonstrates, you know, it clearly communicates what you're trying to do. And that's kind of the goal here. I mean, there are loads and loads of other situations where, you know, perhaps more harsher boundaries might be needed or more severe boundaries. But I'm, you know, if we're talking about like ways to really calm things down and to communicate effectively and, you know, have that calm conversation with your wife, I would start with these kind of boundaries here.
Yeah. I'm going to share an example from, I'm actually going to share two, one a little more benign but it actually was deeper than it might appear on surface level. And then one a little bit more of a challenging situation, or I needed a harder boundary. Okay. So the first one was, I had this expectation. Okay. So here we come up with expectations. You probably have some expectations for your wife on how she should treat you and what love should look like and marriage should look like. We all do. And your wife has certain expectations of you. Now, women may not always clearly communicate what those expectations are, and you may not clearly communicate what your expectations are. And then when those expectations are not met, then we tend to be very unhappy. But the tricky thing is our partner may not have even known that that was our expectation. So clear agreements are the antithesis. I can't talk. Antithesis.
Antithesis.
Of, yes. Yeah, there you go. That's a fun word. Of this kind of miscommunication and misunderstanding. So for me, I had an expectation that my husband, as soon as he comes home, should give me a big hug, big kiss, make me the center of his world. Why? Probably because that's what I saw from my parents. I don't really know, but I just had this expectation out there. Now, did I ever communicate that with my husband? No, I just thought that's what you do when you're married. So after being married so long, he would come home and be on the phone with like a sibling, a brother, or a coworker, or a friend. And he'd be talking on the phone and like wandering around the house for like 30 minutes. And I interpreted that like, I must not really matter. So here's one of the challenges when we have an expectation and it's not clearly communicated, and then it's not met, then we start to create what we call a story about it, right? So instead of seeing Ben's perspective of what he was doing, I created a story that I must not be as important to Ben as other people that he wanted to talk to more than me. So that created more and more of a narrative and a bigger issue than when I finally just told him, hey, I would appreciate it. Here's the clear request. I would appreciate it that when you come home from work, you put down the phone and you give me a hug and a kiss. That would help me feel appreciated and important to you. Now, Ben had to decide, what do I need in order to provide that for Heather? And he decided I might need 15 or 20 minutes in my car before I come into the house to wrap up a conversation. Is that fair, Heather? Yes, Ben, that's fair. Okay. Now, all of that just got totally cleared up, right? Now, another time when we actually had to put in a boundary was on my husband's side. We had a pattern of me blowing up and being very angry and volatile, and to the point where I would even raise my voice, not name calling, but, you know, coming down really hard on him. And he put in a boundary that if I was going to communicate in a very angry, volatile type of manner, he was going to leave and not be part of that conversation. And that was a totally healthy boundary because he's like, I'm not going to engage with you like this. So his clear request is, I'm happy to talk to you when you're calm and willing to actually work on this. And so that if, you know, if that's not something that you're going to do, then I'm going to disengage from this until you are in a calm way that we can then have this kind of conversation. And so it wasn't a punishment. It was a, I'm going to communicate with my actions that what you're doing here is not healthy and it doesn't work for me. Now, boundaries like this can be tricky to navigate. And that's one of the things that Mark and I really help couples with, is knowing how to put in a clear boundary or even a consequence that's going to be appropriate for what might be going on in your situation. But it's a beautiful thing and it's a powerful thing, and it leads to a healthy relationship. It helps your partner maybe see that the way that they're treating you is not okay, and that you do love them, but that you are going to have some boundaries that help support healthy communication and show them that you care about them and create space for things to work in a much more functional manner.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example.
Great. All right.
Yeah.
Number four.
So this one.
Yeah.
This one says, listen in order to connect rather than to solve problems. And I wonder if any of you have actually heard that stereotype that men go into conversations and immediately try to solve problems. And like the women are saying, I don't need you to solve this problem. I mean, we've all heard that stereotype. Even before I started really getting into marriage work professionally, I think I had heard that stereotype many times. I think we generally accept that that's the case, that women are much more likely to just want to talk as a way to connect, while men tend to prefer to connect through shared activities. And so might not realize that's the point here. They just want, you know, that women just want to talk. And therefore, the tendency here is like men tend to be a little bit more goal-oriented with their conversations. And this, you know, I don't know if this is, you know, I always feel like weird going into these kind of stereotypes. Like, you know, I don't know if this is from generations where men tend to be spending most of their day at work. And so the activities during the day and the conversations just tended towards more goal-oriented and solution-oriented conversations. And, you know, that passed down a little bit through even these generations where, you know, the workplace is much more co-ed and, you know, having equal amounts of men and women. But, you know, whatever it happens to be, that's the stereotype. So sometimes what this looks like is it's interpreted as that male partner isn't as interested in the conversation because they're like, okay, what's the point here? You know, let's actually get to the solution. Okay, I have a solution for you. Let's go. You know, yeah. Just say this thing to that coworker that you have and we're done. I think that sometimes, you know, this needs to be communicated a little bit more clearly. I know my wife also sometimes has to remind me, like, hey, I just want to share this and I just need you to be present and listen. You know, I'm not one of those guys that always rushes off to the solution, but sometimes my wife does have to remind me, like, hey, I just want to sit and talk and doesn't have to have a purpose right now. But yeah, be ready to listen, to ask questions, to contribute your own opinions or comments without necessarily trying to take the conversation in any specific direction, like a solution. I don't know, Heather, what are your experiences with this? Do you and Ben have a similar sort of dynamic? Does this happen with you guys?
Absolutely. And I would love to see in the comments if you men feel like you've tried to jump in and like, here's the solution. Your wife's really upset about something, maybe a coworker or her mom or the kids or something. And you're like, okay, I think we should do this or you should try this. And she's like, no, you're not. I just want to talk. I don't want you to solve it for me. And that could be very confusing, right? Because generally men like to solve the problems and kind of be the hero and, you know, move forward from things. And it's a good awareness to have that this may be one of those more general, just kind of differences between men and women, stereotypically, that women, sometimes the solution that you're giving her is just listening. So I talked about this last week with the women, to let your husband know, hey, I just would like you to listen here. That's the very best help that you could give me. Or with my husband, Ben, he actually went so far the other way of just listening that then I was like, no, I actually like want you to help me like find a solution here. So now as we have conversations, I'll let him know, I would really like your advice here. I'd like your feedback. I'd like you to help me make a decision, A or B, what would you choose? And to let him know, I am wanting your solution here. And then other times letting him know clearly from my side, I just want to talk. For some reason, women, we just love to talk and we do find connection in talking. And there's also studies that have shown that women need to speak like so many thousand words a day and men it's like half that many. I don't know the exact figures anymore, but there's some psychological thing about that. So yeah, I think it's important to know the differences there, but then also just respect what is actually being provided.
Mm-hmm. I have an example, even from like last night. I went over to sit with my wife and just wind down for the evening. And she started talking to me about like some health concerns for herself. It's nothing like too serious or anything. And immediately I was like, oh, well, okay. You know, I've been telling you need to go set an appointment for that. And she's like, look, Mark, I'm not asking you for like what to do. I, you know, she went and set the appointment. She just wanted to express some frustration. You know, she was frustrated that some of the, you know, doctors and whatnot weren't really listening to her concerns about her health. And so she had to do a bunch of research. And anyways, she just wanted to talk to me about that without me saying, well, just go do this, this, and this. And so even, you know, myself, you know, Jen had to remind me like, hey, just sit with this and, you know, listen to me for a moment. And this can be really helpful if you can just ask, you know, do you need me to listen right now? Do you need me to solve this? Just like Heather was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. From the men's side, I think that's a very clear thing. Mm-hmm. And another way that I would like to take this, listen, in order to connect, is that all communication really should lead to connection. And if your communication isn't leading to any kind of connection or to even disconnection, then there are some skills that you can learn, because you should come away from your communication feeling better, like feeling closer. And if that's not happening right now, then definitely reach out to Mark and I, and we can get you going with how to get that communication happening, so that every time you guys talk, you actually feel that sense of closeness, that sense of connection going on. This works even if, you know, things are pretty dire right now. There's still a way for your communication to help both of you feel heard, help both of you feel respected. And this is really where you have a lot of, I don't know if the word's a leverage, but a lot of opportunity to start to really turn things around. This communication aspect is where the magic really happens. And so if you haven't learned how to do those things, then it's definitely time to do it. All right, let's go to tip number 5. Be a safe space to absorb feelings. So most people, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to just comment on this for a moment. I was thinking back to like a conversation that my wife, Jen, and I had, and as a heterosexual male, I was like, I don't even understand sometimes, like, what do you women see in men? We're just like kind of having fun with this conversation, my wife and I. And you know, so she started like listing off some things. And she's like, okay, you know, not that she's attracted to these other people, but she's like, okay, a lot of the men that she was close with in her life were these people who were very emotionally stable people that she could go to. And it was just kind of a safe, secure place to be emotionally. So she listed off her father and her grandfather and like this uncle, and me. I found that conversation really interesting, just to kind of gain that perspective. And, you know, of course I've heard these sort of comments from other women as well. And I actually, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk with you, Heather, about this topic before we started the podcast. I'm curious what your perspective is on this sort of idea.
Yeah. Well, if we think about it, like, we all appreciate those that we can truly confide in. Mm-hmm. That we can feel safe emotionally. And it's generally because they are emotionally stable themselves. So they kind of feel like a safe place to go to. If you are dealing with a lot of heightened emotions and you go to someone else who heightens the emotions even more because they're in a heightened emotional state, or they just add more fuel to the fire, that just only creates more of this drama feeling, right? Versus a safe place to go to feel really heard and understood and respected, right? Mm-hmm. And so I understand that it can be draining to be around those with heightened emotions. At the same time, there are bound to be moments when emotions are running high. And especially for a lot of you guys listening to this right now, your emotions are probably running higher than normal because your wife's pulling away or cheating on you or wanting an divorce. And so that's causing a lot of heightened emotion, a lot of pain, a lot of fear in you. And your spouse's emotions, your wife's, might also be very high as well. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that you can do here with this tip number 5 is to really add to your partner's sense of security by being able to calmly absorb intense emotions they might be having.
Yeah.
That can be challenging to do, because we're all in our own pain, and especially when your emotions are heightened. But what this looks like practically for me is learning how to process through my own emotions. And I know we've worked with many, many clients that they said this is one of the things that they have appreciated the most about our method and our process, is learning how to not just ignore the feelings, but process through their own emotions and then truly be able to see their partner's perspective. Mm-hmm. For me, what this looks like practically is that Ben is reserved in his sharing of his feelings or his hurts. He tends to be like more withdrawn. So when he is willing to share, I'm making sure that I am listening to understand, not listening to respond or to react or to feel judged or get defensive. Because as soon as I do that, oh, the walls are back up because now I've made it about me instead of about him. So what I try to do is say, you know, be a safe place for him to share by processing my own emotions in outside of that conversation and really trying to understand where he's coming from. And that builds a great connection that then all of a sudden, all the defensiveness and any kind of emotion that may have stirred up tends to just kind of melt away. It kind of resolves itself because I see where he's really coming from rather than my initial interpretation or judgment of where he was coming from. Mm-hmm. So that, in addition to letting him know I appreciate him sharing, has helped him to feel safer to share and more willing to share. And that's made our relationship a lot healthier. How about you, Mark? What have you seen as far as this?
Well, I've noticed, you know, especially if I have couples in together, I really try to facilitate each person to be able to communicate their feelings in a way that they're not being like swept up with their feelings. So, if I'm facilitating another couple with this, a lot of it is helping them to take these emotional statements that might be very charged with the language and boiling it down to like what they're really trying to communicate, like what they're really wanting from their partner. So, I mean, a part of this is going back to some of those clear agreements or clear requests. But, you know, a big part, if you are trying to make that create a safe space to absorb feelings, it's about not being swept up with your own emotions within the conversation. I think like what you were talking about there, like taking time to process your own emotions, that is a really good idea. But I also think that if you do need to share some emotions, try to describe them, try to share them without yourself getting swept up with that emotion. And I think that can lead to some really great conversations. If you're just trying to be there for your partner, you know, it's the same sort of thing. If they're being very emotional and you're just trying to create that safe space, help them to communicate like those intense emotions, that really charged language into more practical requests. You know, as soon as that person starts feeling heard, like you are there with them, that you understand them, it's very rare for that emotion to like stay heightened. It really tends to drop off because it's not needed so much.
Right. Yeah. All of that fear is really reduced when you feel safe. And so it's really about creating safety for both of you. And in that safety, then it increases vulnerability, and vulnerability, when well met, increases intimacy and connection and draws you closer together. All right. Now let's go on to tip number 6. Talk about her in positive terms. Now, of course, this applies to anyone, but especially right now we're addressing you husbands, especially to your wife. So are you noticing flaws in her, maybe her actions, her figure, how she's handling your current conversation? You know, are you looking at the negative about her? Maybe you're really upset that she's seeing everything negative about you or twisting everything you do into something negative. But let's always check ourselves to see, am I seeing the good in this person, or am I looking at the negative as well? So, Mark, you have a couple points here that are really helpful to see this.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking about here is like, you know, I understand that maybe, and I'm guilty of this myself sometimes, like people can be a little bit oafish and like not really pay attention to the things that you're saying. You know, things like comments on her physical appearance can really have a lasting impact, especially if it's even, you know, approaching something a little bit negative. But like this, you know, goes much more beyond just comments on how she looks or something. If this is, you know, trying to address the some of the complaints that you all said about not being able to give some feedback, or, you know, your wife really reacting if she feels like you think that she's wrong. So you can still try and address some of the things that you want to address, you know, problems that you are finding in your wife. But I think you need to start off in positive terms. Start off with like something positive that you are noticing. Even if she's, you know, yelling and she won't listen to you, there's a reason why she's doing this. And if you just come off and say, you're wrong, you need to stop that, it's going to create this escalating argument. Not saying that you shouldn't have boundaries, not saying that you shouldn't stand up for yourself when, you know, when that's appropriate, but like you can really calm that situation down and really soften a lot of these conversations just by like noticing the things that she is trying to do positively. Even if she's pulling away, it might be about, hey, she's really valuing trying to speak up for her own needs or to have some independence. Perhaps she's really trying to feel heard. And, you know, maybe it's something about that. But you can take some command and discuss the preferred direction you would like to take things, even if, you know, rather than what she's doing wrong. So like if there's a lot of blame towards you, if there's a lot of, you know, emotion, negative emotion towards you, you can say, hey, look, you can take command of that situation and say, hey, look, why don't we, let's calm things down. I want to make sure that we are both feeling heard here. And I especially want you to feel heard. And so I'd like to understand what it is that you're asking from me. Like, this is about taking things in a positive direction, perhaps even noticing that she's trying to communicate something to you and then shifting it in a more productive direction here. I keep saying, using the word direction. You know, a big part of what you can do with this as well is, you know, especially if your wife is prone to reading between the lines, be clear what your message is about and what it's not about. So if you say, hey, look, I want to make sure that we're having a lot more respect here. I want to make sure that you feel heard, but this is not about trying to control the situation. This is not about me trying to tell you what to do. I would just like to have, you know, whatever it happens to be, whatever is that is especially painful for your wife that she might be complaining about, you make sure that you have that distinction there.
I love that so much. I would really love to hear from you guys as you try that out, being really clear about what the message is about and then what it is not about. If your wife there is reading between the lines, and trying that on and seeing how it goes. All right, let's go to point number 7, which is all about avoid direct criticism. And I know that that sounds similar to the previous point, but we're going to take it in a little bit slightly different way here.
Yeah, I mean, before I was like, okay, let's take this in a positive direction. I was saying, let's, you know, talk about her in positive terms, maybe identify those positive goals, even as she is maybe being emotional or, you know, angry or really sad or something. But sometimes you do need to address something that's going wrong. You know, there are moments, you know, the dynamic between my wife and I, sometimes I don't feel heard. And, but part of, you know, I'll admit part of that's because I don't always speak. I don't always say clearly what it is that I'm wanting to say. But anyways, it's like I'm saying here, sometimes it is necessary to describe what's going wrong. And I always think it's much better to, you know, avoid direct criticism rather than saying you're not listening to me, rather than saying you don't understand what I'm trying to say. I, you know, this is a tip to just to say, hey, use I statements if you need to address something that's wrong. Hey, I'm not feeling heard here. I would like to feel heard. I'd like to have this conversation go in a direction where we can both feel heard, or whatever it happens to be that you're looking to do. If you need to talk about things that need to be better, okay, discuss how you can offer support or ways that she may need to feel supported. So this isn't just about you saying, well, you're doing things wrong and we need to do things better, or you need to do things better. You know, in my example here about not being heard, I might say, hey, I'm not feeling heard. I would like to make sure that I'm, you know, speaking up and sharing how I feel a little bit more. And I'd really like, you know, an opportunity to have a few things to say. You know, I'm taking responsibility in this hypothetical situation, and I'm trying to describe ways that we can take it forward rather than just blaming her for perhaps, like, in this, once again, hypothetical situation, I'm not feeling heard.
Yeah, very helpful. All right. So those are our 7 tips in a nutshell. Feelings are okay. Share common goals, avoid many problems that you may be experiencing, how to create clear agreements that help cut through some of the expectations that maybe aren't being met or reading between the lines. 4, listen in order to connect rather than to solve problems. 5, be a safe place to absorb feelings. 6, talk about her in positive terms. And 7, avoid direct criticism while still resolving issues that may need to be resolved in a positive way. All right, now we're going to go to 4 phrases to melt her heart. I'm just going to go through these kind of rapid fire here. So I want you to take some of them and see how you can use them in light of these principles. Okay. There are no hacks. There are no shortcuts to a marriage reconciliation, but done appropriately, these things can help. So 1 is, I am interested in blank about you. We are always interested in people that are interested in us first. So when you show her, I'm really interested in why you love this new hobby so much, or I'm really interested in, you know, your experience with that, I'm really interested in that, is going to help her see that you are interested and that you want to get to know her even better. Kind of go back to dating days, right? When you're dating, you're super interested in each other. You can't get enough of each other, right? So showing some interest in her first. 2, gratitude. I appreciate blank about you. Now, Mark and I, we've talked about gratitude before. And of course, the more specific that you can be, the better. If you're just very general, it's not going to be very effective in melting her heart. But if you can be very specific, even maybe something intimate that only you and her know about, or that very few people know about her, like, I appreciate that you really care about your grandmother, even though she's super evil to you, right? Whatever it is. So being very specific and something that you're truly genuinely grateful for. 3, I recognize that I have, and here's where you are going to take accountability for your part in the relationship or in the situation that you're in. So I recognize that I have maybe not listened to you as well as I should have, or I have not been there for you as well as I would have liked to, or I have not respected you in this way. So you're taking accountability for your part in the situation. I would really like to do better with that and would like to support you in healing from this as well. Let me know how I can help you with that. It is one of those things that takes us out of the drama triangle. It's when we have accountability for what we've done. And so that is going to be something that's really going to help bring those walls down. The last one here is, I love you for you. This is something that most women that I've ever talked to really value, is that they're loved for who they are, and that you treasure them and cherish them for who they are. So I love you for who you are. All right. So that is it in a nutshell. If you want to go ahead and leave a comment, let us know how this goes. Again, we will answer every single comment that we get. And if you guys want more great videos and episodes just like this, make sure you subscribe, give us a thumbs up. We would appreciate it, as we are fulfilling our mission to help millions of marriages truly thrive. So thank you so much, Mark, for sharing this. Gentlemen, I hope that this is of service to you. If you're wanting more help with this, then please reach out to us and get a free marriage analysis. You can apply for that at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. highthrivecoaching.com/apply. And we'll help diagnose what may be going on between you and your wife, maybe why your communication really isn't connecting you, and how you can move forward quickly. All right. Next week, we're going to share with you that if you don't feel valued by your partner, this is the only way that this is going to change. So how to feel valued when they aren't currently valuing you.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.